Well, anyhow, I kind of get tickled at the differences. Well, C.D. was in this frame of mind. He was going to go out and perpetuate what he had been told was true with a spirit just like that. Well, he was a funny old dude. In November of C.D.'s freshman year in college, he became Brother C.D. Walker, pastor of the Mount Selman Baptist Church. C.D. had been pastor 3 weeks of this little church when senior deacon in his congregation died, and C.D. was called on to perform his first funeral. And I say first funeral in a literal sense. Not only was it the first one he'd ever done, it's the first one C.D.'d ever been to. He was stopping people at the Rexall Drug. You know, have you ever been to a funeral? What did they do when you... I got to do one Thursday. Yes, ma'am. You know, could please, you know, any kind of music, you know. He didn't know. That doesn't just come with the call, man. You got to do a few, you know. So anyhow, old C.D. has got to go do a funeral. Okay, first serious problem, he'd never done a funeral. He's what you call uptight. Okay, first problem. Second problem, C.D. did not own a suit. So he borrowed a navy blue blazer from his roommate and wore it with a pair of dark brown pants. But he said he'd be behind the pulpit and probably nobody'd notice, you know, that kind of thing. He was wearing brown penny loafers with sweat socks. Classy dresser. Always crossed his leg and swung one foot a lot, you know, and you'd see that white up there look like he was surrendering before he ever preached, you know. And I remember another little thing about C.D. He always had shoe polish on his sock around the top of his loafer. And I said, as serious as I could one time, C.D., why don't you shine your shoes and then put them on? And just serious as he could, C.D. said, it gets on my hands. Captain Dumb, man, was on the loose. Well, anyhow, C.D., okay, has got to go do his first funeral wearing a borrowed blazer. Third problem, it is the rainy season. All the humidity in the south central part of the United States spends the month of November in Jacksonville, Texas. We have a Dristan plant there that works 12 months a year and doesn't send anything out of the city limits. They just pump that stuff out and you're taking two-tone tablets 5 times a day and nobody talks to each other. We write notes. Nobody talks on the phone. You can't understand who it was. You know, it's just terrible. So it's raining, it's mucky, he's in a borrowed blazer, sweat socks with polish on them, doing his first funeral. Well, he was nervous to say the least. Thursday morning of the big day, C.D. got up, got in his old 49 Ford that his mother left him, and she disappeared and never came back. I don't know what was involved in that, but anyhow, she didn't want a preacher in the family, she said. Well, anyhow, C.D. had this old 49 Ford, and it was whiplashing windshields. Only the windshield wiper on the passenger side worked. So he had to drive like a mailman looking out the wrong window, you know, coming down, this kind of stuff. People awful nervous driving behind him. Goes out, turns off into the ruts toward Arp. And as I was saying, this is on a couple of ruts. That means you're in red clay, East Texas mud. It's the kind of mud that just craves you. You know, really. You get up in that mud and it says, oh, behold, you know, just latches on. You can back out of that stuff with slick tires and you're good for 4,000 more miles. I mean, it is mud. So, C.D. pulls in and starts sliding and slipping around in the ruts, okay, and udding. This Brother Walker now, he wasn't doing this on purpose. So, yeah, he's udding, over the hill, down the hill. Tops of the hill, he's got to go down and up. The church is up near some pine trees. And down in the bottom of the holler is the hearse carrying the dearly departed. And it departed off in the ditch. Right hind wheel first is slid out there, and the driver, of course, has never stuck a hearse in red mud. So he's gunning that dude trying to get it out. And the mud is flying everywhere. Well, C.D. tops the hill, there's a hearse in the holler. There's a hearse in the holler, by the way. Anyhow, it's in the... No, don't do this. I never heard that myself. It's kind of weird. It's getting inspired up here sometimes. Well, anyhow, You ought to see me when I got on clean socks, man. I'm wild. It's just unbelievable. Feel so fresh. Anyhow, thing slides down and it's off in the ditch like this. Well, four men from the church had pulled up their britches and waded down the hill in their good Sunday suits. In fact, their only Sunday suits. And we're behind this hearse trying to shove it out. And of course, they're getting red-muddied something fierce. Just, so C.D. jumped out, was going to help, so he's pulling on the rearview mirror. There was nothing up front. And, well, the reverend shouldn't have to work too hard in this world. So anyhow, finally they got this thing in the road by prying a fence post loose, pulled it off the steeples, and shoving it under the back end, and got it up. The guy slid slud, whatever Dizzy Dean would say, up the hill, parked it, and literally the guy's late to his own funeral. 25 after 10, C.D. didn't even have time to go back in the back room and ponder. He just had to leap out there and do it, right? Well, he's red-muddied, he's wet, sniffed, coughed a little. Nobody lit the furnace. It's Thursday. The guy said, we never lit the furnace on Thursday. You know, well, anyhow, it's cold and people are sitting there shivering. Cold, wet little old country church. Well, amazingly, it went beautifully well. I mean, the quartet sang, will the circle be unbroken, like they knew it wouldn't, you know. And didn't even forget the cousins in the obituaries. He memorized two verses that he didn't forget, and they were all amazed. It was an incredible effort. The old boy was really going to feel buried, you know. So, you want to feel buried if you go to all the trouble to get dressed up like that, right? So anyhow, C.D. is going to do this right. Well, they got through, put the body back in the hearse, and flowered the advance truck, and it took off, and they all get in line and follow C.D. now, slipping, sliding again downhill. A mile and a half took almost 50 minutes. Parked and just kind of slid over beside the mud road. Everybody got out, slammed doors, and now they make their way up a slope where they've got the grave dug on a hill overlooking two different valleys. For what, I don't know, but they thought the view was important. And maybe they got a mirror in the tombstone that goes around or something. I don't know. Well, anyhow, maybe the guy just wanted a little peace and quiet for a few years and died early. You know, I don't know. But anyhow, he's up here. They got a rack around with a green awning on top, no butane heaters, wind is blowing and it's raining, and everybody's sitting in cold, wet metal chairs, sniffing for the committal service. Well, C.D.'s standing in the front near the corner of the thing, getting dripped down the shoulder, but has his head and neck in under it. Family is seated out front in a rectangle of caskets over here, and C.D. waits till the funeral director gives him the signal which says, proceed. Generally, at the burial site, that's just sort of a knotted head and a cleared throat. Then you need to step in. Funeral directors have signals like that. They'll scratch their ear and people leave with the flowers. It's standard. So anyhow, I was wondering if you scratch early and they leave in the middle of your sermon, that'd be awful. And they just leave. Come back. Anyhow, C.D. waits for the signal. And they finally, so he walks in. Now, he's standing right here in front of the family with a casket at his back, preparing for the final committal moments. Opens the minister's manual, which is courtesy of the State National Bank in my hometown. Said so right out there on the back, near the family at this time of grief. You know, the only request was, please open it and hold it high. So anyhow, C.D. proceeds to read to the family from the bank manual. The appropriate verses, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the Lord is my shepherd. Folds it up and says, now let us pray. So everybody bowed their head and C.D. says, our Father. And it just got very, very quiet. Now, Baptists, I don't know about some of your groups. Start to say your denomination, but I know better than that. I don't know about some of your groups, but Baptists are not used to silence in church. I mean, if it gets as quiet as long as 5 seconds, somebody will say, what was that? You know, they've never heard it. In fact, if it gets quiet too long, people start peeking to see who lost his bulletin. You know, they don't know what the deal is, you know, and who lost his place or who forgot that he was next, you know. So that's what happens. About 5 to 7 seconds of silence, and the people here weren't expecting that, so they start peeking to see what's happened to Brother Walker. So they're all squinting and, you know, and C.D. has gone. And they're all thinking, well, the dirty rat wanted to be the first one back in the ruts. What has actually happened? The rainy season, the front wall of the grave caved in. C.D. Walker is in the hole. He is under the casket. He has pulled in a whole sheet of artificial green grass with him. And he can't say what's on his heart. Which I don't think is fair. I'm serious with you. I think ministers ought to get to cuss like laymen. I really do. I'm going to hold out for that. It's not right for a minister to slam his thumb in the car door and have to go, verily, verily. You know, really, that's not fair. You out in a rainstorm with a flat tire, people passing you on the freeway, and you're out there going, behold my flat, behold, behold. You know, they don't. You know, you need a little old woo-ha, or you know, something like that. C.D. didn't know anything else but just to sit down there and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you know, much. Well, anyhow, he's in the hole, hurting for certain, and now they're peeking two-eyed upstairs. Where is Brother Walker? You know, elbowing each other. You see where he went? I didn't see where he went. Yeah, and that's what they're doing. About that time, C.D. gets his feet under him on a wad of grass and stands up, sticks his head out of the hole right in front of the widow. Just like a groundhog, you know, he just comes out, and she goes, oh, and just fainted right there on the floor. That did happen. That's absolutely true. And another good friend of mine was performing his first funeral while he was a seminary student, and he went to call on the widow and the family at their home. He arrived Tuesday night. The funeral is Wednesday morning. Packed farmhouse. The body's lying in state in the living room. And this friend of mine comes in. Can't tell you who he is because he's now important. But anyhow, he thinks. Well, anyhow, he'll tell you that. Well, anyhow, he goes in to this farmhouse to console this family in their time of agony and grief. Goes back into a sitting room in the back where the widow receives him. But every time they start trying to make plans for the funeral, they get interrupted by somebody else, old Mildred. You know, and they cannot get it planned. So they're trying to look for some place in the house where they can get just a moment of privacy to plan the funeral. He'd never done a funeral. He needs help. They look and they can't find anything, but she says, well, what about just, you know, stepping in the bathroom? He said, that'd be fine, you know. So they do. They go in, shut the door and skeleton key it. She took a seat on the edge of the tub, and he took the other seat. And you rarely find a chair in there, you know. That's been my experience. Who would you want anyway, you know? Maybe a place for the kids to watch you shave, but that's, you know, that's about all. Anyhow, here he sits on the potty, you know, and she's sitting on the edge of the tub. I would say John, but it might offend some folks. Anyhow, there they sit on the tub in the stool, and they make all the necessary plans for the funeral, obituary, songs, music, what he was a member of, favorite verses, anything special she'd like mentioned, all this kind of stuff. And when they'd made all the necessary arrangements, he suggested that they have prayer and scripture reading. So she thought that would be wonderful. So he read the 23rd Psalm, put the testament back in his pocket, took her wrinkled hand in his, shaking nervous pastor's palm, and led in prayer. Finished the prayer.
Amen.
She had a tear.
Just thank him so much for coming. But hey, I'm just so glad I could do that. Yeah.
The one of those moments, tender second or two between a minister and one of his flock. And they stood up to leave the bathroom, and he said, just out of reflex action, he reached back and hit the deal, you know. And, of course, you cannot unflush one, right? It just pow, goes on. Well, he said he was studying wallpaper, and she was looking at linoleum. It was just, you know, kind of like that. Finally, she just turned and unlocked the door, and they both staggered out in the hall, embarrassed to death, just as it goes all the way down. And the whole town looks up, and here comes the pastor and the new widow, and the commode is running. And he just walked right on through and left. He said there was no way he was staying around for that. A minister has got to be able to live with the touchy moments in his ministry. That's really true. And you've got to be able to move with the punches. You've got to be able to float with the current. I got a lot of... I didn't mean that quite like it came out at that particular moment. Reverend Tidy Bowl will now speak to us. That's not what I had in mind. Anytime you walk into baptistry and it's blue, you better leave. You know, that's my main thing. Anyhow... Just be sure you get out before they drain it. That's very important. World's largest baptistry, you know.